AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Well, in just a few short months, we could be facing an eviction crisis, not just in Minnesota, but around the entire country, and it could have some real negative impacts on our economy. Derek Miedener is a writer for the Minnesota Reformer, and he recently wrote a piece titled Why the Eviction Moratorium is So Important for the Minnesota Economy. Hey, Derek, welcome to the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. So before we dive into how the economy could be impacted by the potential kind of cliff we're having with evictions, can you tell us first what exactly is in Governor Tim Walz's executive order in regards to evictions right now?
Yeah, so Minnesota, like a number of other states, have banned evictions resulting from non-payment. This is also known as a moratorium on evictions. The executive order itself became effective August 4th. And the executive order basically limits the scenarios in which a landlord or a property owner could evict tenants. And it limits the reasons for doing that to property damage or for illegal activities on the property. So the most common reason for a tenant to be evicted, of course, is non-payment. And so until the end of the year, this executive order has made that illegal under the executive order.
And as far as I understand this, any rent that people have not been paying for the past few months, they're going to owe that come January. And that's kind of what you write about, how this could be kind of a cliff when we talk about evictions, where all of a sudden we hit January or whenever that executive order expires, all of a sudden people are going to be owing thousands of dollars of rent. And that could lead to a lot of people losing their wherever they're renting in pretty quick order, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's right. That's one of my largest concerns about this, is that among the patchwork of states that have issued like moratoriums and the federal dictate from the CDC, which we talk about, it does not have any sort of clauses which say that there's going to be any forgiveness of backdated rent or anything. And that's going to have huge implications for the families, the renters, come January 1st. And also just from an economic perspective, all the work and all of the relief that we've been providing for people that are struggling, that's going to be, I don't want to say for naught, but that's going to be severely hampered or severely hamper any of our progress that we've made if all of a sudden there's this huge rent bill for millions of Americans.
Is there at least any talk at the state or even the federal level, probably not very likely at the federal level, in terms of trying to get people more assistance once we hit this point where all of a sudden a whole bunch of people could be evicted from their apartments? Have we had any talk at the legislature or the federal level?
Not that I'm aware of. I feel as though the eviction piece has been somewhat sidelined at the federal level. I haven't been tracking it closely the last couple of days, but so far as I know, there haven't been any major initiatives to that end. And I'm unclear as to whether or not Minnesota is going to be focusing on that. Like I said, it's not currently in the executive order, though that would be up to Walz to issue an additional executive order to provide any sort of relief come the first of the year.
What sorts of estimates do we have right now in terms of the number of people who have not been paying rent since the pandemic started? And even if you could go a little further and even talk about some of the demographics of people who haven't been paying rent.
Sure, yeah. And that's a very important dimension to take a look at, because we're not talking about a couple of percent of people nationwide that are struggling. We're talking about a whole host of people. So according to one study, around 27% of U.S. adults said that they missed their July rent payment. So that's over a quarter of all renters in the country said that they missed their July rent payment. The data is somewhat lagging, so I don't have the August figures yet. But that's a significant number. And additionally, there's an institute called the Aspen Institute, and they projected that as many as 30 to 40 million people could be evicted in the next few months and leading into 2021. Now, I don't know how much stock I put in that sort of doomsday number, but that's certainly, without any sort of protections towards the first of the year, that's certainly something that is possible.
Yeah, most definitely. And let's switch gears a little bit. By the way, we're talking with Derek Meadener. He is with the Minnesota Reformer recently, who wrote a piece titled "Why the Eviction Moratorium is So Important for the Minnesota Economy." Let's talk about those impacts economically in Minnesota. If all of a sudden we have a whole bunch of people being evicted because, as you wrote about, you could have people ending up on the streets or living with friends and family, which of course negatively affects the housing market, and I'm sure also impacts, well, the general economy as well, where people aren't going to be spending as much money at stores and shops and places like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to return for a brief moment to the point I made before, which is we have borrowed an incredible amount of money in the trillions for the relief effort. And that sort of acted like a Band-Aid, in the sense that if there's not a long-term strategic plan to assist people with basic things like housing, all of that relief effort is going to, you know, in the long term, yield very little. And so that's why I think it's important that we start looking at the very basics, food, clothing, and shelter, in terms of a long-term coordinated relief plan. So you're right that there is a, in my view, a very strong waterfall effect when a family is evicted, particularly in cases where there's no extended family. As you know, you need to have a permanent residence in order to apply for a job. And so then you're looking at, well, I don't have a place to live. I don't have a job. And these are not people that are going to be able to be productive to contribute to the recovery. And so in reality, it's in everyone's best interest that we find stable housing for people that are struggling, so that they are able to reenter the workforce. They're able to provide a stable home for their family and their children. And so again, that's why my strong opinion is that a coordinated relief effort to make all of the sacrifices that we've made so far worth it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, at least in my opinion, yeah, we're really not seeing a whole lot of action in terms of what you're talking about, which does make things kind of terrifying to think about what's going to happen when the executive order expires by Governor Walz, or if we have something happen at the federal level. Yeah, things could be very, very ugly. And want to bring this up, too, because you brought this up in your piece, that back in 2008 and 2009, when we, of course, had the housing crisis, you brought up that, well, we had millions of homeowners defaulting on their mortgages, which, well, led to a very tight credit market, which we very well could kind of experience in 2021. Do you see some parallels between what we could face in 2021 to the 2008-2009 crisis?
I do. And I don't know that the nature of it is going to be extremely similar to 2008-2009. I think that the Federal Reserve has taken some steps in order to ensure that the sort of spigot, so to say, of credit has not been turned off. But the flip side to this subject, that renters are missing payments, is that property owners and landlords are also, by proxy, missing their payments to the banks. Now, under a very disastrous scenario, if, like in 2008-2009, millions of property owners are missing payments to the banks because their renters aren't paying and they themselves don't have the ability to pay, we could see another situation where banks default, or in other words, the banks are not able to remain solvent because of, mass evictions, mass mispayments, so to say. And so that again, I do want to touch on sort of the interplay between the state and federal government. The federal government and Congress, of course, is able to borrow, right? And that's something that the states aren't effectively able to do without sort of bonding measures and things like that. Governor Waltz, I think, has done what he has been able to do in his power, but the sort of, you know, macroeconomic you know, subjects that we're dealing with here really have to be dealt with on a federal level. This patchwork of moratoriums and relief effort really has to be a strong federal presence in order to be effective.
I think what often gets missed in this discussion too, not saying specifically you and me, but when people are generally talking about how people are struggling to afford their homes and apartments, is that this isn't necessarily new. I mean, people were still struggling to find affordable housing even before COVID took place. Really, COVID just exacerbated the situation and made it that much worse. But even before this, people were absolutely still struggling to find affordable housing.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, that's been a topic of a number of my pieces for the Minnesota Reformer has been, we are really living into economic realities, disparate realities. We have those that were struggling before COVID in terms of housing costs, healthcare costs, education costs, and debt associated with each of those. And for them, there's been little to no recovery whatsoever. And for those that were not struggling before COVID, they seem to be doing relatively fine, all things considered. And so it really has exacerbated a lot of the conditions, you know, surrounding economic inequality. And this subject of housing, I think, is a proxy for what that overall trend is. And so it is important to understand that the folks that were struggling prior to the epidemic, they're going to have to struggle even harder. And it's not going to be a sort of Band-Aid type thing like a one-time stimulus check. Again, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, a strong coordinated federal response, you know, working in tandem with the states is really the recipe for the solution here.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we've been speaking with Derek Meadener. He is a writer for the Minnesota Reformer. His most recent piece is Why the Eviction Moratorium is So Important for the Minnesota Economy. Encourage you to check that out over at minnesotareformer.com. Derek, great work. Definitely enjoyed reading the piece. Hopefully other people do as well. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Hey, great. Thank you very much for having me.